Chapter 6. Kul was still a long way from his enemy, hampered by the crowds of his own troops, when he realized what the true danger was. He had taken the vast ruin ahead to be some dormant relic of ancient ages. When the gold-armored hammer-bearers had filed down to surround it, he'd assumed that they had thought to seize a remnant of old days, a sentimental move, fighting to hold it against the descendants of those that had first laid it low. Only slowly, watching the winged angels dive and wheel, did he see what their real aim was. They were not here to take it, but to destroy it. And every action they were performing was bent towards that one goal. Kul had no idea why they would wish to risk their lives for such a pointless achievement, but was astute enough to guess that it was their only hope for survival. For the first time, a tremor of doubt assailed him. He still had the numbers to slay them all, given enough time, but if the gate held some secret power, something only they knew of, then they could not be allowed to fulfill that aim.
"Skullbrand!"
Kul roared, rearing up to his full height and letting his axe spike with arcane magics. Even across the entire breadth of the battlefield, with 1,000 voices raised in anger and aggression, Threx Skullbrand heard the summons of his master and turned his crimson helm to heed the order. The bond between them, forged by lifetimes at war, was so acute and so drenched in dark magic that Kul had only so much as to say his name, and Threx would hear it.
"The gates!"
Kul roared, gesturing to where the angels were pummeling it with their bursts of wild magic.
"Break the Aegis! Summon the Realm of Brass!"
Skullbrand nodded in acknowledgement, and immediately his icon staff crackled with bronze tendrils. The howl of another wind joined in that of the world's gales, and the atmosphere above the blood secretor began to pulsate like a drumskin. Kul might have stayed to witness what Skullbrand was doing, always gladdened to see the scions of the Great Throne heed the call of a mortal soul, but in the midst of the struggle he had no leisure to stand idly by. He could already see that incredibly Vec and his Khorgarath were being battered by the beast-riding warrior. Despite the numbers set against them, the body of Golden Knights was holding its own, even pushing deeper into the ranks of his own army. They fought with a blend of speed and skill that far exceeded the brutal excesses of his own troops. For too long, the Blood Warriors had fought only the weak and the terrified. It had made them flabby and careless. Kul snarled as he marched down through the ranks of his horde, obsessed now with bringing down the helm-crested knight before any other might claim the kill. For so many ages he had been searching for a champion whose skull would crown the uncompleted Red Pyramid, his great paean to the god of battles. And now, at last, he had it before him. An immortal, clearly. One possessed of the power to command the lightning, and whose valor in arms exceeded even the heroes of the forgotten past. But then Kul halted in his rampage, struck by the same realization that had assailed him on the clifftop. He suddenly remembered the destruction of that last tribe. What had been its name? He remembered putting their villages to the fire, sweeping across their lands with the force of a whirlwind. None of them had ever submitted save through death. The Blood Reavers had never turned one, and the ranks of his Blood Warriors had never been bolstered by them. Every fight against them, no matter how one-sided, had been turned into a brutal contest of wills, something that had made his savage heart swell with satisfaction. This was the same. Though these warriors fought in the finest battleplate, they were cast in the same mould. The Beast Rider, in particular, he was exactly the same, not in his regal appearance, but in the sheer tenacity of his bearing. There had been lightning that night, too. There had been bolts from the heavens that had burned through his horde and nearly turned them back from the final conquest. And then, right at the end, the Great Warrior, who had defied him and spat curses into his face and readied himself for a duel he could not possibly win, was gone, his place taken by charred earth and the stray crackles of celestial discharge. Grizzlemore whined, eager to take up the hunt again, straining on his iron leash. Perhaps the hellhound recognized something too, and his every muscle twitched with desperation to rend and maim.
"I know not how you have returned," growled Cool, swinging his axe blade to clear a path through his own battle-incensed horde. "But I shall discover it before this night ends, and rip the truth from your shriveled soul."
Skullbrand had not welcomed the order from his lord. He had been primed to wade into the attack on the warriors below the gate, already relishing the cut of his axe blade against their pristine battle plate. Summoning the world beyond took time, and every moment he spent away from the slaughter made his soul ache. The ground below him was now ankle-deep in blood, and his boots squelched through it as if through a mire. Most of it had come from his own kind, it was true, but it mattered not from where the blood flowed. He raised his standard high, and more bronze flames licked up against it, drawn from the fevered storm around him. Every death fueled the vortex, tearing at the barriers between the world of the senses and the deeper vaults of unreason below. Those of the horde closest to him, at least those not utterly blinded by their battle rage, let slip shouts of excitement as they saw the bronze flames leap, and the assault against the enemy redoubled in ferocity. Skullbrand slammed his battle standard down into the earth. He pushed with such force that the banner poles sunk in 2 feet deep, carving through the blood-rich soil with ease. As soon as it was anchored, the magic leapt from it like steam from a geyser. Skullbrand cried out, 8 times, each one a different curse, all of them summoning the realm of chaos to the mortal plane. A column of bronze fire jetted out from the standard's tip, searing out into the wild night and rivaling the silver lightning thrown by the angels. The earth beneath began to boil, making the blood slicks bubble and steam. Old charred plates were thrust aside by a new landscape of hot brass, burnished by the seething sea of blood and spreading out from Threx's position like a breaking wave. The very air itself screamed, and the rock below cracked. Amid the racing howl of unearthly winds, the realm of chaos burst into reality, shoving aside that which had existed before and replacing it with its own writhing pillars of madness. Skullbrand threw his armored head back and roared with triumph. More bronze flames engulfed him, surrounding his body in a cloak of immolation. The earth cracked and charred, and the spilt blood boiled from it in gouts of hissing steam. A new rain began to fall, though it was as thick as slurry and stank of copper. Wherever the blood rain fell, the warriors of chaos seemed to stand taller, to bellow louder, to sweep their axes with greater ferocity. They broke into the eternal chant, "Blood for the Blood God!" in a brutal chorus of frenzied voices. Their armor burned with vermilion flames, and the air around them danced with the crackle of demonic energies. With the realm summoned, Skullbrand released his grip on the staff. It remained lodged deep, poisoning reality and twisting the solid matter around it. But it no longer needed his guiding word. The blood secretor was now free to give in to his urges, and so thundered towards the slender thread of gold that even now kept his minions from taking the gate.
"Slaughter them!"
Threx bellowed, shaking with unfettered wrath and still wreathed in the burning bronze aura of the blood god.
"Slaughter them all!"
Vandas smashed his hammer down again, hurling the vast beast of chaos back into the mass of bodies behind it. His liberators pressed forward, fighting with their calm skillet arms, each one more than a match for the blood rabble that faced them, but still heavily outnumbered. The flayer was another matter. He used his flail as both a weapon and a deception, weaving clouds of darkness about him as he thrust and parried. The Drakoth lunged for him, trying to rip his arm off, but Vek was too quick, darting away before the teeth could close and dragging the spiked tips of his lashes across the noble beast's muzzle. All across the battlefield, the contest still lay in the balance. Vandus could see Anaktos and the Sky Host weakening the portal's wards with every strike, but it was not happening quickly enough. The charge of his liberators had pushed the enemy back in on itself, but resistance was stiffening as the horde brought its sheer size to bear. If the Storm Host could not break the enemy's resolve soon, Vandus knew he would have to retreat lest Ionis be overwhelmed. They did not have the strength to maintain two spearheads for long. Once he did that, though, then the battlefront would shrink further, allowing the enemy commander to throw his entire horde strength at a single point.
"For Sigma!"
he cried, blasting apart the skull of a blood warrior who got too close to the arcs of Heldenson. The behemoth loomed back over him, inured to fear and enraged by the beating it had already taken. As it reached in again to swipe him from the saddle, Vandus leapt up, standing on the Drakoth's heaving spine, and whipped the hammerhead out towards it. The beast made to dodge, believing the Sigmarite was aimed at its flesh, but that was not Vandus's intended target. With a shout of release, he channeled the power of the comet into the sacred weapon's crown, and a stream of pure white fire burst from it, cascading into the onrushing beast's charge and ripping deep into its burnished flesh. It bellowed in agony, thrashing its great claws and trying to douse the flames that cascaded across it. The pure fires of Azir pained it more than 1,000 blows from its master's whips, and it stumbled away, roaring in anguish. With the behemoth seen off, the flayer circled warily, bereft of his greatest weapon. He replaced his flails with a blade drawn from his belt and waited for the mass of blood warriors to flank him. In a mirror movement, the surviving liberators advanced around Vandus, and the two lines of warriors, crimson and gold, faced one another across a rare gap in the swirling melee.
"Thus shall it be for you all," warned Vandus,
returning Heldenson to its solid form and taking position back astride the Drakoth's back.
"Leave this place, and you shall endure life for another cursed dawn. Remain here, and I shall end you now."
As soon as the words had left his mouth, a great explosion rocked the landscape, and a pillar of bronze energy thundered up from the ground over towards Ionis's position. The detonation of magic was followed up by screams as the realm of chaos burst up from the heart of the battlefield. Vek laughed, as did those about him.
"This is our place," he said. "You know not what we are capable of in it."
Vandus quickly saw the truth of it. The warlord's full tally of troops had now reached the battlefront, and the ranks of blood warriors had become almost endless. Banners to the god of battles swung by the light of torches, rocking to the beat of human-hide drums, and the mocking laugh of triumph was already on the marauder's lips. They were undaunted by the amount of losses, and the shed blood seemed to rouse them to ever greater feats of bravado. Now that the very matter of the corrupted realm was spilling freely into the world of the senses, their strength was multiplied further. The realm was spreading, unraveling like a canker across the plains, bringing ruin with it. It was but a phantasm yet, but in that vision was the future of all realms, should they fail. In those baleful fires and boiling metals was the destiny of mankind, the one that the God King had seen more clearly than any other. It was infinite, and it was terrible. Vandus hefted Heldenson and looked down at its unmatchable shaft. The gold of it was unsullied, for the blood of the unclean boiled away with its every strike. The sigil of the comet was emblazoned down its length, and icons of honour and splendour had been carved into the holy Sigmarite by the priest-smiths of the God King. This was not the weapon of a mortal man. Mortal terrors had no hold on him now. He had been reforged, made into something a little less than the gods themselves, and even demons had no strength to compare with that. He drew himself high in the saddle, and the storm gale made his cobalt cloak billow. He raised the warhammer again, and lightning arced down from the heavens to greet it.
"Fear no scion of the outer dark," he roared. "Their grip is over. Their terror is gone. To me, eternals of the storm, dawn shall come again."
With an answering roar, the liberators took up their holy weapons, led by their lightning-crowned lord, and the cries of war echoed out once more. Anaktos cried aloud, transmuting his hammer into the pure essence of the comet, and flung the blue-white fire at the void beneath the gate's arch. The mixture exploded, sending a radial shockwave spiraling outwards. There was a sharp crack, an echo, a shower of dislodged stone, and he was hurled back. With a surge of sudden hope, Anaktos saw then that the gate's seal had been weakened. The bolts of his brothers had almost broken through, but now they were fighting hard just to stay alive, and the rain of comet fire had slowed to a trickle. Anaktos himself was tumbling now, thrown out of position by the backwash from the explosion. He pushed down hard with his damaged wings, gaining a little loft. Though deathly weary, he summoned up yet another transmuted hammer, ready to convert the energy of the storm into a comet bolt and send it spinning into the cracking center of the gate's portal. As he swiveled for the strike, he felt the storm pushing him down again, back into the open maw of the horde below. He glanced over his shoulder and saw a mighty champion in crimson armor, now no more than 30 feet beneath him. The icon-bearer was pulling his twin-bladed axe back for the throw, and Anaktos knew that there was no way he could avoid it. He still had the energy of the comet cradled in his gauntlets, though. If he used that, he could smash the Chaos Champion apart before he had the chance to loose the blade, giving him time to escape, to fight again, to survive. Anaktos allowed a smile to flicker across his ravaged face. He only had the power for one such bolt, and there was no question what he would do with it. With all his remaining power, he hurled the comet's essence into the fractured heart of the portal. The very next moment, he felt the thrown axe blade bite into his spine, flung with perfect accuracy by the champion below. The Sky Lord arched his back, stricken with purest agony, and plummeted to earth. He cartwheeled helplessly as he fell, unable even to see with any clarity whether he had penetrated the portal seals or not. The tempest screamed about him, ripping his broken armor from his breast. He had a sensation of extreme cold before he cracked to the ground, his wings rent and his armor shattered. His last living sight was of blood warriors clustered around him, their axes raised and their faces twisted in hatred and mockery. He grinned bloodily at them.
"By Sigma, your breed is ugly," he rasped.
Then the blades fell. The time had come, and Ionis could not longer remain behind his brothers. The retributors had fought beyond even the stringent standards expected of them, defying exhaustion to hold the precarious cordon against an enemy that knew no fear and lived only for carnage. Despite all their heroism, a third of their number had been dragged down, too far away to be revived by the Cryptborn, their bodies hacked apart by the vengeful mobs. The survivors had been driven back steadily up the wide stairs leading to the portal itself, and there was now nowhere left to go. Sensing the climax of their labours, Ionis at last joined them on the front line. He took up his reliquary in both hands and swung it like a mace, bludgeoning and thudding it into the oncoming ranks. But that was not the only weapon in his arsenal. His arts gave him the power to restore life, but also to leech it away. With a dry hiss, Ionis released the storm spirits from the reliquary's heart, and crackles of bone-white lightning shot from the tempest above. The lightning scored down, raking across the oncoming blood warriors and shriveling them within their armor. Wherever the shafts hit, the warriors of chaos were burned to death amid the dazzling electric flames, their skin crisping and smoking as it was seared from within. They twitched like marionettes before collapsing, smoldering amid their red-hot battle plate. That bought them a moment's respite, but it could not last. The warriors of the Horde surged back into contact, their mania undimmed by their losses. Indeed, the more of them that were killed, the more their enthusiasm for violence was stoked. As Ionis fought on, he felt the first pangs of weariness in his arms. Another retributor fell, disemboweled by a sickening swipe from a cleaver, and the line of defense teetered on the brink. As the passage of the stairway was gradually lost, Ionis caught sight of the great crimson-armored champion, the one who had summoned the realm of chaos with his icon. He prepared himself, ready for the contest that would decide the final fate of the gate's defense. But the icon-bearer did not engage. Instead, he hurled his axe high up into the heavens, its twin-bladed head spinning in a whirl of thrown blood droplets. Ionis followed its path, watching with horror as the weapon struck Anaktos Skyhelm in the back, crippling the Prosecutor Lord and sending him crashing to earth. If that were all, then Ionis would have felt the grief for his loss and turned back to the fight, knowing the peril they were in. But Anaktos, with his final living act, had sent a storm blast into the very heart of the gate's pulsating mouth. Ionis watched it fly towards the target, streaking like a falling star. When it hit, the impact was unlike the others. The entire expanse of emptiness blew apart like glass, shattering to a thousand shards. A massive secondary explosion blew out from the epicenter, tearing away the world's storm in a riot of unleashed gold and white. The shockwave was incredible, racing out like a bow wave and felling all in its path. Prosecutors were ripped from the skies and tossed like gulls in the storm. Webs of gold shot across the ancient stonework, illuminating the eyes of the giants that held the arch aloft, and the runes crackled with new fires of argent. Ionis reeled, driven to his knees by the gale, but somehow remained in place to watch the event for which so much had been sacrificed.
"Hold fast, warriors of Azir," he commanded, his grave, dry voice raising at last. "This is the hour."
As he spoke, the raging tempest within the arch's ambit exploded, the runes shattered, throwing slivers of red-hot stone high into the gale. Whole beams and buttresses crumbled, and the stairways and towers were thrown down. The rain blew outwards, sent flying from the detonation's locus, and hurled out wide across the raging fields of war. In the midst of it all, the gate itself changed. Old stonework crumbled and cracked, revealing a structure of purest ivory beneath. The faces of the statues were fully exposed, the patina of ages seared away, their serene faces once more gazing out over the realm of fire. A gale surged under the arch, driving out the last of the corrupted flames and replacing them with an inferno of gold. And then, through the archway itself, sent hurtling into the heart of the tempest by arcs of cerulean lightning, came the legions of Azir at last. Rank after rank of liberators materialized on the battlefield, sent through the ancient ways between the worlds and allowed passage by the unsealed gate. Whole warbands of prosecutors soared under the archway before riding high on the eddying winds, their hammers already glowing white. In their wake marched the retributors, hastening to the aid of their surviving brothers on the great stair. Despite himself, Ionis could not help cracking a dry smile of vindication. This was why they had dared the passage of the void, and it was for this that the labor of long ages had been expended. The gate was open. It would never be closed again. The Realms War, so long in abeyance, had begun once more.
And so begins the time of vengeance,
the Cryptborn declaimed, holding his reliquary aloft and releasing cold fires from its casket.
Now march, my brothers, and bring death to the enemy.